Welcome to Engineering Success. I'm your host, Jamie Hutton, and in each episode we'll bring you an influential and inspiring guest from the world of engineering, science, technology and mathematics, sharing fascinating insights into their career journeys. We'll explore the challenges they face, how they keep motivated, and what the future holds for them. Speaking candidly about the engineering and other STEM-related industries, we'll find out what's made these successful people successful. This is Engineering Success. Welcome to episode number 47 of Engineering Success with our very special guest, Amma Frimpong. Amma is the head of product development at 52 North Health Limited, where she leads the company's engineering teams. She is a multi-award winning engineer, including being named the 2022 Young Woman Engineer of the Year by the Institute of Engineering and Technology, and Top 50 Women in Engineering by the Women's Engineering Society. She has a love for global health and engineering and has spent her career at the forefront of healthcare innovations, making significant contributions to the technical development of a wide range of products and processes. She is also passionate about advancing science, technology, engineering and mathematics in young people, with a particular focus on girls and those from the global ethnic majority. Hi Amma, and welcome to Engineering Success. It is great to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Jamie. Thanks for inviting me. I'm really excited to be here.
Can we start right at the beginning? What first interested you in engineering?
So my interest in engineering is actually a little bit backwards to what people would normally say. My first interest in engineering came from a healthcare perspective. I've always liked the idea of helping people. And so I wanted to be a doctor, actually. But the thing that made engineering really exciting to me is that I realized that I could do that with engineering, because I didn't know I could do that with engineering by improving people's lives. And so finding that synergy is actually when I started to look a little bit further into engineering. And then I realized that actually you can make the impossible possible with it. And that really was sort of turning point for me. And it was very, it was all accidental, completely accidental. That's how I found engineering. But it's that impossibility made possible about engineering, and the fact that I could see people with their problems and my fancy skills in engineering could improve it for them was what did it for me.
Absolutely, yeah. So then what route did you take into engineering?
Yeah, so I stumbled into engineering. I did the university route. I thought I was going for a taster course in medicine, and they put me on a medical materials one, but actually I wanted to go through university. So what I did is I went back and I changed my UCAS application from medicine to engineering. And that was the start of my journey. So I'd gone in, but what I did was typical with people who don't really have any guidance or don't know anybody. I had gone to this taster course and they were looking at medical materials engineering. So I went back, and that's what I chose, because nobody said otherwise. You know, I thought that was the only way I could help people with my engineering skills. So I chose materials. But it was during that I realized that I love engineering. I love making these things, and I love innovation and taking a problem and turning it upside down and fixing problems. But it wasn't necessarily the course that I'd chosen. So I started to reinvent myself a little bit through the program. Thankfully, with most of the sort of UK engineering programs, you can mix and match your subjects and courses. While I was on the materials course, I was literally doing most of the mechanical engineering program thing. I really chose all of those. And then I made sure that I was very intentional about my placements. So I chose, I did every summer through university, I either did one or two placements to try and get as much experience as possible, because I suddenly had realized that it's so easy to be confused, because I'd been confused once and I was like, I'm not doing this again. So I made sure that I got as much experience as possible. And actually, I'd applied to do some apprenticeships, but at the time there wasn't a lot of it. Because I'd also realized that I was learning a lot of theory. And the thing that excited me was doing the stuff and look to be having all the fun. But I couldn't get on any. And I mean, a couple of them were like, oh, a girl, you know. So, they weren't formalized programs. I'd like go see where there was an apprenticeship program and I'd go directly to them, but there was no success there. So that was how I got into engineering, through trial and error.
So today you're the head of product development. So what does that job actually entail?
Yeah, so my current job and head of product development, first thing to say about that is that it's in medical technologies. Yeah. So while the job title in itself is applicable across different engineering spheres, for me particularly, I work in innovation in medical and healthcare technologies. So yeah. I lead the product development. So we take a problem and then we create some ideas and concepts as to how we can fix that problem and get a product into the hands of patients that can improve that problem that we've identified. So for example, at the moment, what we're working on is a product, a device that people can use at home. People who are on chemotherapy and they're generally at risk of a life-threatening condition called neutropenic sepsis. Now, this is when your immunity is low, but you've also got sepsis, and that can't be a good combination. No. And so we give them a device that they can use at home to check whether or not they're at risk of this, rather than running up and down between A and E, right, because in general, yeah. The chemotherapy makes them unwell. So it can be quite difficult to tell the ambiguous symptoms apart from each other. But that's really what the role is. It's very much taking a problem. So while we're looking at neutropenic sepsis today, next time we're going to be looking at something else. And actually, we're working on lots of different parallel products, you know. So what it is, we take an issue, and that's what I do. I lead the team doing that, the engineering team. We innovate, we iterate, we test, we redesign, we do all the stuff. And then the ultimate aim is to get a final device that people take and can use easily, and that solves their problem.
Amazing. Yeah. So what would your number one piece of advice be for somebody thinking about a career in engineering?
I think my biggest advice for them is keep an open mind and try and get as much experience as you can. And this is very direct from my experience. I found that engineering is so vast, it's so diverse, it's so versatile. And a lot of people that come to me generally are worried about their first decision. And yeah, yeah. You know, what type of engineering shall I choose? I want to do engineering, but which one? And,
yeah.
You know, and my own story says that you can make a decision that you may not like at the start, but it doesn't mean that the skills you're acquiring does not translate into other areas. That's the beauty of engineering.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
yeah.
So I like to say to people, you know, keep an open mind, make a decision as best as you can in the moment that you are. If you think right now you're interested in general engineering, you go do it. Mechanical, go. Aerospace, go. In 2 years, if you think you want to do something else, you swap over. That's the beauty, because absolutely. You have skills. You can reinvent yourself. There's no right or wrong answer. And so, yeah, they just keep an open mind. And then as they do that, also try and get as many experiences as possible, whether it's through internships, talking to people, networking. You start to then realize what people are doing will probably inform where you want to go yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that kind of helps you shape that career path, that engineering dream that you have. And so, yeah, that's really normally what I say, because I found that there can be a lot of pressure on young people to make the right decision and to have like a beautiful 10-year plan that is all mapped out beautifully. Yeah. You know? Life doesn't always work like
no.
You need to give yourself contingencies and give yourself room to play and fail and change and iterate and grow. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
So then how do you think we can infuse the next generation to take engineering as a career?
Yeah, I mean, with this one, I think there's maybe three ways that I think that we can do this. One of them is to show them that anyone can do it, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of the time, unfortunately, there are subliminal barriers, people, doctrines that people have that we don't realize that young people are picking up on them. So the more that us who are already in the industry can showcase the fact that anyone, regardless of your background, you're educated, like, you know, we show them that these barriers that may have been put in their place and in front of them are actually non-barriers,
yeah,
and
yeah.
They can just like stump right over them. I think that's a really great first start, but also to show them what they can do with it, because that's generally what keeps some of us who are already in engineering going,
yeah,
like the impact that we can make. And so almost telling them that there are 5 million different types of engineering, and you can make an impact this way, that way, this way, and they will find one that resonates with them, you know, that they want to go through. And then I think the other way is just showing that versatility, which kind of ties in with the impact, because the more you show them the breadth, you're then showing them the different areas that they can fit into, where they can like find their calling, their passion, their dream, and go down that way. And I think it's very much shared experiences. I think us who are already in, like, all of these examples require people to talk about things, showcase things, like us who are privileged and really happy in the engineering industry should be telling them how amazing it is, because they generally just don't know. And to just use different approaches to tell that story, I think.
So you won the IET Young Woman Engineer of the Year Award 2022, which is an amazing achievement. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Awesome.
How has winning that impacted on your career, and has it given you a really good platform to promote engineering, and especially the engineering that you do?
Yeah, I mean, the award was surreal, amazing. It was all the great things, you know. Never once, if you'd asked me 10 years ago, 2 years ago even, that I'd win it, would I have said, oh yeah, for sure. It was such a great honor and recognition for me and the work that I do to get that award. And it's been incredible. It's one of the two things that I really love about what I do is the fact that I get to help people with my medical engineering, you know, my skills in engineering. But I also like to talk about what I do so that other people find a more structured way into engineering than I did, you know. None of the full stuff and the back and forth. And those are two things that the award has like incredibly uplifted, because the award has said to people that actually Emma has something to say and people want to hear what I have to say. And I think that is invaluable. Like, before I was able to like go to events and talk to people about my experience, I mean, I think part of the award is the fact that I was already doing some of this stuff, but it elevates it magnitudes, you know. Like, I can't even put a factor on it how much it's magnitude like it's magnified that. And it's been incredible, because now I get to do what I love, but with the additional push of the award that allows people to also see me and say, well, I look like that girl. If she can do it, I can also, because that's one of the big areas about this that really drives me, because I knew zero people in engineering. Yeah. I had zero mentors, zero people to look up to. And if I can be that for just one young girl somewhere, you know, that says, oh, I've heard of this Emma girl, you know, she started in North London and grew up in Ghana and has like this varied experience, and I resonate with one part of her story, and so I'm going to be an amazing engineer. That's all of it done for me.
Yeah, it makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you think more engineering professionals need to get more involved with the institutions like the IET to help better promote engineering, you know, to the next generation of talent?
I think so, 100%. I think there's multiple benefits to doing that, you know. Like, these professional bodies, I call them professional families. That's like my personal description for like joining these places. But it gives you other shared experiences and lived experiences to draw from, you know. It's great that where some of us want to be able to tell the story, and people should want to tell their story, because somebody will find your story similar to theirs, and you don't know who you're going to inspire. But similarly, your story might only influence one person. So actually having this body that you're part of means that you have a collective, you know, that you're going with. And I think that is so powerful that we should really be pushing that, because they also have all the research, they have the connections, they know a lot about the industry that we can learn from to then tell the story even better. And you know, no one's an island. Engineering's not an island either, you know. So it's really good to form these networks. But personally, for the engineers who do it, they get to benefit in their own growth and professional development. So it's almost like, while you give, somebody puts into you as well. And that's what's beautiful about these bodies, because it's almost like a chain reaction. As you give, somebody behind you or above you is feeding into you as well. Which is yeah, it's beautiful, I think.
Yeah, absolutely it is, yeah. So then how do you keep yourself motivated?
I tend to take a step back a lot to find my motivation. Sometimes, you know, particularly when you're at the, like you're innovating or you're problem solving, you can get very caught in the weeds and in the midst of the problem. It can get overwhelming if your timelines are slipping and the deadline is coming. It feels like everything's really hard, but taking a step back, and for me, like, it goes right back to that passion. And when I talk to young people, I'm always saying to them, find your interest, your passion, the thing that centers you. For me, it's the fact that I can use my skills to help people's health.
Yeah.
And so I take a step back and I try and remind myself, why are we doing this thing? You know, it just has a way of like recentering me, because it takes me away from the immediate problem. You know, sometimes what I do is I mentally remember some of the patients we've spoken to who said, oh, this device would really, really help my life. And I'm like, okay, this is why we're doing it.
Yeah.
and that's where I find my motivation, really, because I have like motivation at home and I've got my family and my friends and I try to like have a structured life. But sometimes those motivations don't necessarily come into the workspace. So yeah. I find a reason in work to re-motivate myself. And that's going back to that, the why of why I do it all. That's what I usually use.
Yeah. So then who or what has been your biggest inspiration?
Oh, this question. My biggest inspiration, and again, it's right back to this why and who, were my parents. My mum is a nurse. She's the one that introduced me to this whole thing about caring for people and the healthcare life, if you want.
Yeah.
When we lived in Ghana, she had a pharmacy shop where in Ghana, like, people would come to the shop and say, I've got this condition. And her experience and her training as both a nurse but also a trained dispenser of drugs would allow her to, like, you know, triage them and recommend medication.
Right.
And after school, I'd go and sit in the shop with her and just like watch her do this thing. And sometimes I had to take the medicine and give it to people, you know. Really lovely with some people, because it was in a neighborhood, it was a residential neighborhood, so those same people might come by the shop again and wave and say, I'm feeling better, Auntie Hannah. And I think that I can only imagine that that's what really put that drive in me, because I could see a tangible change in someone's health and their lifestyle, all of it, just from helping them in their health. So my mum's the first person I ever saw that. And she was like, she's a force of nature. She, career woman, charities, adopted babies, you know, all of this stuff.
Wow, she
did the whole shebang. And I saw her do all of this with a smile on her face and with so much grace. And my dad is the person that introduced me. So this whole time, I did not know that I was generating engineering skills. Dad and I used to change car tires. I was like in his armpit everywhere, you know. We try to open washing machines and microwaves. Don't do that, kids. We do not open microwaves. But we did all of it, and I didn't realize, because they allowed me to like explore and grow and do all of these things. And I think the combination of those things is really what, in that taster course, when I stumbled across engineering, I was like, I did not realize that I could bring all of these things together. Make the thing that I didn't realize was all right there in front of me. They're my biggest inspiration, and they're my biggest cheerleaders as well. My husband competes with them now as the cheerleader, but but my parents, they definitely started me off on this journey,
almost like destiny.
Absolutely.
And
it's really interesting when you look back on it, because you don't realize it in the moment,
but
now that I've got it all and I look at it and I turn back and I'm just thinking, they were literally preparing me every step of the way. I just did not realize.
Absolutely. So then, what do you love most about the engineering industry?
Do you know what? I love that versatility. I love that impossible made possible. That's like one of my biggest drivers in engineering. It's that nothing can stop us mentality.
Yeah.
You know, there's no challenge yet. Well, we'll probably find it soon, but any issue we fix, you know, we take a problem and we make a solution. It may take years and it may take a lot of blood, sweat and tears, but we get there. And I think that's the beauty and the thing that really drives me and I love about engineering, because I think as a person, I don't like to be told no. And engineering means that, like, even if there's a problem, I'm like, this no is not going to stop. We're going to fix it. We're going to be at the forefront of innovation. And I think that's the thing that's, like, super exciting, because it just means that you get to challenge yourself every day in your career. I think some people really love that. And I do, because while it can be difficult in the heat, because you're like, oh my God, this is a big blocker in my space and in front of me, it's a challenge. And what better and greater joy than you take a challenge and you flatten it like a little piece of paper and you go right over it. And that really excites me about engineering. And I'm so blessed that in my area of work, I get to see a lot of this. And it can be small challenges, it can be big challenges, but ultimately we're always iterating and growing. And the versatility of it, because I've worked as a consultant, I've worked in orthopedics, I've worked in consumer products, I've worked in, while I love healthcare, as a consultant, I was going up and down, but also in my past, I did like loads of different areas. I worked in tissue engineering, I worked in medical devices, and none of that has ever been a big problem, because I take the skills, the fundamental skills of engineering that I have, and I apply to any problem. Yeah. And that's the beauty, it can be anywhere. Maybe next I might try aerospace, because I really want to go to space.
That's brilliant.
The beauty about engineering, I think you can, because the learning's always there and the growth is always there, nothing really is too big. We can make it all work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So then what's the best piece of advice you've been given?
Oh, the best piece of advice. I was told one time a while ago that had I known, is not a word that I should use. And I, at the time, I didn't really understand it. It was kind of a, what do you mean by that? But it was because at the time, I used to procrastinate a lot on some decisions, like, you know, oh, maybe I'll try this thing next time. I think I need to get a little bit more experience. I think I need to go and study maybe A-level maths before I can try engineering. Maybe I need to. And then 2 years later, you realize that I didn't need that.
Yeah.
Well, had I known I didn't know the need that, I would have tried, you know? And so it's that try and try again. Don't second guess yourself, because I think that's one of the problems that I faced growing up, but I also see lots of young people do, is we question ourselves so much, and actually we become our own worst enemy by by just putting the blockers in our own space. We overthink the thing, we overanalyze, and we tell ourselves we can't do something, and we can't. Maybe this thing's not going to work. And maybe that I need a bit more of this. And I think what people need to do is be bold, do the thing anyway. What's the worst that can happen? You knock on that door and it doesn't open. Then you know it doesn't open.
Yeah.
If it's not going to open, well, you walk right through it. And I think rather than going years or a while down the road and thinking, oh, had I known and tried that then, I would be in a different space. Well, do it now.
Yeah.
And in the future, you'll be like, well, I did it.
Yeah,
and I'm on to the next thing. And that was it didn't make a lot of sense to me when it was said, but it's later in life I'm starting to realize that it's one of those really small pieces of advice that can make a huge difference in people's lives. So I wish people know that.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. And finally, what does the future hold for you?
I want to keep doing amazing things in engineering. It's my dreams are lofty, but in the smallest of ways. I want to keep being an engineer. I want to help make the profession as attractive to young people, to women, to people from diverse backgrounds, whatever that might be. Yeah. I want to keep doing it so that they can also keep doing it and then come and try it. But also those that try it, because we're still losing people. So if I need to be an amazing engineer so that other people can see that they can remain and be an amazing engineer, that's what I want to do. But other than that, I just want to keep making products and innovation and finding the next solution that changes people's lives. I think that would always forever be one of my biggest drivers. And I hope that, you know, together we can change the world, because there's so much happening on a global sense, you know, like global engineering, sustainability, global health. is such a big area at the moment. AI is coming in. I don't know enough about it, but it's definitely supporting a lot of the work that I do. And I just want to keep being there to be part of that change. I want to be part of the change, whether it's in the profession or around the world. I want to be part of it.
Yeah, me too. Amber, that's it. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Really pleased to be here.
Okay, thank you for listening to episode number 47 of Engineering Success with our very special guest, Amma Frimpong. I had such a great time talking to Amma about her journey in engineering and found it amazing that all the experiences she had growing up helped her to pursue her passion for helping people whilst combining this with engineering. Amma is making a huge difference to so many people's lives through the work she does and is helping the next generation understand the huge importance engineering has on everyone's lives. Inspirational and influential, Amma is helping to bring engineering to the forefront of people's thoughts and through her extraordinary work is a massive difference maker. Follow Amma's amazing journey. All her social media links can be found on her podcast webpage. If you enjoyed this episode of the podcast as much as I enjoyed recording it, please share it with someone you feel would benefit from listening to it. And please subscribe so you never miss an episode. We've got more great guests coming soon. So, until the next episode, have a great day and I hope you succeed in all you do.